it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It would have been done. And I already know why I said Vern's like, hey, you've written this long. If they're still the hottest team, and maybe tomorrow starts they're the hottest team in baseball part of it.
Okay.
Vinny came through. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying they needed it to stay alive, to not be dead. But what Vern said yesterday is still something I do agree with. Their ability to win in spite of the issues that they have had injury-wise this year. Colt, it has been, you said to Vern, it's the antithesis of the level of health they had last year. They were one of the healthiest teams in all of baseball last year, and as a result of that, we're a playoff team. They have been one of the most, if not the most, injured rotations in baseball. They're still pitching well. They've had overcome the league's worst offense for a huge chunk of the season, and at least they're still in it. I feel better about 2026 than I was expecting at the end of the season, considering the fact that they are not currently in a playoff spot.
So you had a win yesterday. And just to even give yourself a remote chance at having the Mariners series still mattering, I mean, they're behind the Guardians, they're behind the Rangers, they're behind the Mariners, and we know they have three against the Mariners next week. You have to be within three going into the series, in my opinion, to have any shot. So they still have ground to make up this week. I understand what Vern's saying, which is like, why call it dead right the second there's 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is in the season? I understand that, but you're now positioned almost where even if you sweep the Mariners, still not good enough. And that's a problem. that's a massive problem.
Unless you make a ground this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for me to believe it will happen, but they would have to. They need to win like six in a row, Cody. They need to get on like a six-game winning streak, and part of those six needs to be sweeping the Mariners. And so, yes, if they do that, then next Friday could be a lot of fun. But that is a tall ask, and frankly, they have not shown their ability to do that. Now, I agree with your statement about where they're at as an organization, considering everything. I'll remind people, as we all know, the expectation was to win the division and to be a playoff team. That obviously
division got out the window.
That obviously is not going to happen. The playoff team, we'll see. It's a very slim chance of that happening. I agree with you that with all the injuries that they had, it is the fact that we're even still talking about them having a shot, albeit a remote one, to get in, is a testament to multiple players that have stepped up and some, I think, very prudent moves that they made.
Yeah, some good trades
in the middle of the season. As far as 2026 goes. Yeah, there's the rotation should give you plenty of promise. Guys next year that have solidified themselves in the rotation, Noah Cameron, Cole Reagans.
Additional depth of arms of Berger.
They put themselves in a spot where they have an ability to go and make a trade or two to boost the outfield. Now, I think they are well aware that the outfield was their biggest problem this year other than the injury bug hitting them. But, you know, there's also still that sentiment like just because we are applauding the fact that they overcame injuries and, you know, I think JJ even said to us a couple days ago or 2 days ago, you know, if you would have told them all the injuries, they would have thought they were like bearing down 100 loss season or something. So while they get credit for that, I hope that doesn't convince anybody within the organization that like, oh, we'll see if everybody just comes back healthy next year. We were able to get to, you know, 83 wins this year and we had all the injuries. Wow, that means we actually got a pretty good club here. We don't need to do like, I hope they don't think they don't need to make some more. And you're like, oh, of course not. I'm just saying the outfield free agent market is not great. The only way the outfield gets better in the offseason is trading away a few in-house pitching options. You can pick who they are. I think Chris Bubich is almost impossible to trade now because he's coming off of an injury. Okay, then you start looking at control and age. Okay, Seth Lugo's not getting traded. You just gave him an extension. Cole Reagans, good luck getting anything of value for him in the offseason given the injury that he had. Michael Wacha is older, not going to get enough for him to get the outfielder that you really want to change the game for you. So really, pitching-wise, you're down to being willing to trade a Noah Cameron, being willing to trade, obviously, a prospect in Blake Mitchell. You're going to have to make a move like that. So they're positioned well, you know, pitching-wise heading into next year, that's the best thing heading into 26 for me, is it gives them some options. But I just hope that they don't look at this and say, well, with all the injuries, the fact that we won this many games still is really impressive, and think that that doesn't mean that there weren't still major problems even without the injuries to this team.
So much of the offense right now does feel like it's going to end up relying on the fact that Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione will have good sophomore years. Because right now, five parts of the lineup, I would argue, are already locked up. Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Wood Jr., and Jonathan India are all a part of the everyday lineup for the Royals next year. No real question about it. I wouldn't be surprised to find out, if I added Kyle Isbell to that list, that he would also be a guy that I would just kind of anticipate, based on the way he's done it, that he would be one of the guys in there too. So we're really down to just the three remaining spots, one of which I know will be Jack Caglione's, and they're going to just bank on Jack Caglione be better. For me, it is just about the thing that we just talked about. The one, like, just singular, you know, outfielder to improve the offense and include the depth in it, right? So get a guy in left field who can hit. Not, and this is not, like, not Lofton or Grichik. Like, an actual everyday big league player. And I know that, like, some of the other deals that were on the table, Profar and Santander, didn't work. But, like, come on. Somebody like that is what the Royals need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.